Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
And we are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans studios. Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans provides a seamless mortgage experience that's with you every step of the way. It's the Ken Carman Show on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. All you Pittsburgh nut jobs out there, don't worry, 1140, just about, a.m. Eastern. I'll talk about Baker, and I'll talk about another radio show host. Fine. This is what happens when you spend an hour on Ben Roethlisberger last week. Everybody's listening on the fan in Pittsburgh going, I heard what you said, Ken. Also, noon Eastern, we'll talk to Monty Poole, NBC Sports Bay Area, get his thoughts on Game 2 of the NBA Finals. Joining us right now on the hotline, we welcome in baseball writer, researcher for MLB.com in New York, the StatCast, really smart guy, David Adler joins us, MLB.com. Find him on Twitter, @_DAdler. Hello, David. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me. Good to be here.
Your sister also covers baseball. Is that correct?
Yeah, I guess you mean Cousin Lindsay. We're not actually related.
It's your cousin. Okay, Tom said you guys were brother and sister. Okay.
No, we're not actually related. We just have the same last name.
You are not related?
We are not related, but Lindsay does great stuff for The Athletic, and we do know each other.
Because I was going to say it would have been a funny thing if I would have been like, yeah, this is your sister, and you'd be like, we don't talk to each other. We got in a big fight over the DH, and I haven't spoken to her in many years.
No, we did actually both wear pink to the Yankee game yesterday, so it was like an Adler family color coordination.
David Adler joining us on the show. So now that I've already embarrassed myself, let's get into Major League Baseball. And there's a couple of things that I wanted to bring up to you. And David, I'm sure you're tired of it, okay? I'm sure you're tired of hearing about attendance. I'm sure you're tired of hearing about these things because you've dedicated your life to the game of baseball. You've dedicated your life's work to it. And there's plenty of great things about the game, but there's also seems to be a disconnect between the game, which is still great. I still fight people about what they think about the game, and also attendance. How do I blend it where people start to go back to the ballpark in droves the way they did before?
You know, I kind of hope that people will, kind of appreciate the game as it is today. I mean, I know baseball is constantly working on, making improvements and testing out rule changes and things like that. But, there's plenty to like about the game right now. I mean, pitchers are throwing nastier pitches than ever before. I mean, you see pitching ninja gifs on Twitter. Everybody loves those. I mean, hitters are crushing home runs this year. I mean, they just set the record for home runs in a month. I mean, any month in MLB history, the most home runs were in May 2019. So, if there continues to be this type of, cool, power surge, if we do a good enough job of, showing all the, cool stuff that's happening in baseball, then hopefully people will go to the games.
Do you think we've made too big of a deal about pace of play?
I mean, yes and no. I mean, you want more action in the game. And obviously, if Rob Manfred is pushing for these initiatives, then Major League Baseball feels it's an important thing to work on. But I mean, I think Joe Maddon talks about this a lot. It's not, the time of the game, it's the rate of the action. And Rob Manfred says this too. And there's a difference between a long game could be really exciting. I mean, some of the most exciting games are long. If it's a back and forth slugfest, lots of crazy plays happening. So the game doesn't have to be shorter necessarily, but of course you want it to be action packed.
David Adler joining us on the show. Find him on Twitter @_DAdler, MLB.com. Well, when you guys talk about, and again, you're MLB.com. There's ways to improve the game. I think that sometimes though, when I talked about pace of play. And I know you kind of just alluded to it a little bit. Like Tyler Kepner brings up in his book where guys are, even though we think, I thought for a while I was seeing more guys, just watching the game, seeing more guys chase first pitches. And he brings up the stats, and I'm sure you found them too, where it's basically not the truth. Guys are pitching more, so they're not going as far into games as they used to. Guys are being more selective about pitches because home runs are up, and basically it's home runs or strikeouts anymore by some folks. So maybe the pace of play has been changed because guys are simply, because of launch angles and everything else and science that I can't explain, that's why maybe games are taking a little bit longer. And it's not, well, the guy stepped out of the box and he adjusted his glove, and the pitcher scratched himself and walked around the mound, like that type of stuff that we thought before.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it is just, you know, players are really good. Like, it's very, very hard to, you know, hit these pitchers who are throwing, like, you know, 98 miles an hour, and then they also throw a 92-mile-an-hour slider, and, like, they're using all this technology that's now available. Like, you know, they can design all these pitches. They work on them. They, you know, can use all this information that they have at hand to make, like, you know, make sure they have the best grip and, you know, throw with the right spin and all this. And these pitches are so nasty that, you know, they're really hard to hit. And that's why, I mean, and hitters can do the same. They can, I mean, they know that, like, you know, slugging is and on base percentage are really important. They can, you know, try to adjust their swings to hit for more power and things like that. I mean, and yeah, sure, there are a lot more strikeouts in today's game, and, you know, a lot of it's, some of it's because of, you know, the hitter style, swing changes, things like that. Some of it's because pitchers are extremely talented. And so, like, on the one hand, you get, you know, all these cool pitches that are really fun to watch, but then you also get a lot of strikeouts.
So basically, it's like, I'm sorry the product is so much better than it's been. I'm sorry the players are so good. It's how that one works out there. David Adler joining us on the show. All right, to one thing that makes me smile and one thing that obviously doesn't. Very unfortunate event happens in the Houston Astros Chicago Cubs game the other day. And it raises the conversation again about extending nets. Now, you're MLB.com. Obviously, you talk to a lot of people who are within Major League Baseball, I presume. Has there been advanced discussion within the league from not a team-by-team perspective, but from the league office to, hey, we're going to have to move the nets further down, maybe even foul pole to foul pole?
I mean, look, I don't really know about the reaction in you know, in response to this particular incident. I mean, I know that MLB, like, did work on, you know, extending the netting for this year. I mean, obviously that would, you know, take some time to, you know, extend it even more. But, I mean, you know, if players like Chris Bryant, after that happened, you know, came out and said, yeah, I really think we need more netting down the lines. Albert Amor was really, really shaken up, and he wants to, you know, make an effort, like, to meet with the kid who got hurt. And
yeah.
So, I mean, like, I'm all for safety. I mean, you know, if changes like that happen, that's a little above me, though.
David Adler joining us on the show. Okay, can you give us some names of some guys who might be on the move here, even though it's only June 1st?
Oh, well, I mean, the big one that people are going to be watching is Anthony Rendon on the Nationals. I mean, this guy, I mean, he's been, like, you know, the most underrated player conversation for so long. You don't know if he's now, you know, so underrated he's now, you know, properly rated or overrated type of thing. But he's really good, and the Nationals have, you know, struggled so much that if they're, you know, out of the NL East race, you can see him moving, especially considering all these extensions that are getting signed and the kind of completion of the free agent class. I mean, he's one of the best third basemen in baseball. I mean, year in, year out. So that's going to be a big trade target. I mean, Madison Bumgarner for the Giants could be another trade chip. I mean, you know, given his competitive legacy and his, you know, track record and the Giants, you know, kind of retooling efforts. So he'll be one to watch. I mean, honestly, soon, once the draft happens next week, you could see, you know, Kimbrel and Keuchel signing with teams once they don't have the draft pick compensation attached to them from having the qualifying offer that they declined.
Awesome. David, we thank you very much for the time. All the very best to you and yours. And if you run across your not cousin Lindsay, give us her best. Thank you very much, buddy.
Oh, I will. Thank you for having me.
Take care. David Adler joining us, MLB.com. Find him on Twitter at _DAdler. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. 1140, yeah, I got to talk about Baker the same way I did about Ben Roethlisberger, but there is a twist. Five burning questions at 1220 p.m. Eastern. But next, not only do I support netting, I'd like to go a step further on the field. I'll explain. It's Ken Carmen on CBS Sports Radio.
This is the Ken Carmen Show on CBS Sports Radio.
855-212-4CBS coming up at noon Eastern. Monty Poole going to join us, NBC Sports Bay Area. We'll talk Warriors. We'll talk Toronto Raptors with him. Also, five burning questions. And already, from what Tom tells me, it's going to be a hot segment. I'm going to get worked into a shoot. It's going to be a great time. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. I'm in support of extending netting. I don't know if it's got to go to foul pole to foul pole. When I envision it in my head, it feels, and I think a lot of baseball fans can agree, it feels like it's a wall in front of you. But when I was at a game, when I saw some of the things that happened at the game, when I was sitting behind some of the netting, I thought it was different from what people's initial reactions were going to be, because I didn't even notice. And so now that I think about extending the netting, when I first think about it, it feels like it's going to be a wall sitting in front of you. It's not. Extending netting foul pole to foul pole, yeah, there's a little bit that gets off the balls that makes its approach into the stands further away from where the original ball was hit, when the ball was originally hit. So if you want to extend it a little bit further, fine. If you want to extend it all the way to the foul pole, maybe that's just what's necessary to make people feel safe. Because honestly, this isn't just about whether or not fans have the optic experience of it. And yeah, people bring up, well, foul balls. We want foul balls. I've been to plenty of baseball games as a broadcaster. I've been to plenty of baseball games as a fan. I've never got a foul ball. There's people who get a ton of foul balls. There's that idiot who runs around and gets foul balls and home run balls all across the country. There's those guys. I think that the odds of getting hit with a baseball are still pretty slim. However, it's not about what I think in terms of, well, my God, I think I'm going to get hit with a foul ball. You're really not really going to get hit with a foul ball. It's the fear of doing so. And when people see these stories in the news, when people get worried about this type of thing, when they see a child has been struck by a baseball, by a foul ball, they think about their own children. If that precludes me from going to a baseball game, you lose as a professional sports entity. You lose in that situation. Your entire goal, to get me to trust you, to come see your product, to come see what you're doing, to be entertained by what you're doing, and then to get me to come back. There are very few plane crashes across the country or in the world every single year. Very, very few. The percentage is very, very small. However, I'm terrified to fly on planes. It's a terrifying ordeal. Now, once taken off, it's not a leisurely experience like baseball, but if I feel that I can get hurt, and people do become afraid of all these things, if I feel I can get hurt, then I'm going in a different direction. Now, aren't I? So I think that you have to think about what's going to be better for the fan experience. Will the fan experience ultimately overall be better with extended netting? Probably. Will it need to be going foul pole to foul pole? We can talk about that. We can have a discussion about that, whether or not that's needed. It's a weird sport in baseball where it's the only sport where things are flying into the stands. You really don't see that basketball you see in the first couple of rows. And there was a discussion when Jason Day's wife got hurt, when LeBron James went flying into her for a loose ball. There was a discussion about people sitting too close to the action. Football, you really don't get that, with the exception of when people throw projectiles from the stands into the field of play, then there's that discussion. But baseball's the only one where, yeah, you know what, if you don't keep your eye on the ball, you can get hurt. And people always want to give this safe, terrible answer, and it's always the same thing. Well, if you get the cell phones out of people's hands, then pay attention to the game, this type of thing won't happen. These are the same people that probably still text and drive, but they still like to say that because it's a nice, easy answer that they think can really bring up the situation to a halt real quickly, and then we can all just move on, which is silly as hell. I went to a baseball game just last year where I had an elderly man sitting right next to me in the field of play for a line drive foul ball who had the newspaper up in your classic stance where the paper is up in front of your face, reading an old-style print newspaper, two seats to my right. And if he would have caught a screamer, that's the end of business for the day. So I don't know if you can come up with just that answer and say it's okay. To put an age restriction there, to say that only a certain age group can sit in the first couple of rows is not an answer for it, because you want kids to be exposed to the game, to the finer points of the game, to the fun points of the game. And I think for a kid, the best example for it is to sit as close as you possibly can. Now, obviously, there's an affordability factor that we can get into with the attendance, but we're talking about the extended netting right now. But not only do I extend, not only do I support extending the netting, I'd like to go one step further. I've never met this type of reaction in my life. I brought up on the comeback hits, where I have a hitter standing there 60 feet, 6 inches away from home plate. He has elbow pads on. He has wrist pads on. He has a little thumb pad on in some certain cases now. Off a foul ball hit, he has a shin guard and a foot guard. Barry Bonds looked like Megatron standing up there. And, of course, he has a batting helmet. And now has the C-flap on it that protects the extended part of the face. I've never been so shocked in my life where the reverse angle of that, when I said, you know what, maybe because of all these comeback pitches, and obviously it's not going to protect everything, just like what a batting helmet is not going to protect everything. Because of all these comebackers, because of the rate that they come back, where a pitch goes in at 96 miles an hour, it may come out at 104 miles an hour, and you're still standing closer than what the batter was because of where you finish the pitch, you go from 60 feet, 6 inches to about probably 55, 53 feet away. I brought up John Olerud, the Gary Gaetti, the flapless helmet for the pitcher last year. I could not believe the responses that I got. You're killing the game. Overly afraid, typical snowflake reaction. Whatever that meant. We're talking sports. Typical snowflake reaction, typical overreaction to everything. That's what sports are, is an overreaction to everything. We didn't talk about NASCAR safety, which was a very dangerous thing until Dale Earnhardt was killed. Then that's what they talked about. Then they went and they fixed it. Professional sports historically has been a reactionary type of thing. If something really, really, really bad happens, then they go and they deal with it. They're very rarely on the forefront. I think I saw a little bit with the NHL being a little bit ahead of the curve on some of the head injuries, which some people might debate because they will grandfather in players, obviously, but a little bit ahead of the curve of the science that they have, some of the other things, some of the rules that they've installed. I think that I defend hockey a little bit more than some of the other sports because they've been a little bit more towards the forefront. But with fan reaction, a person gets killed, they extend the netting behind, everybody's a little bit happier, and they don't notice after a time. There might be a little bit of grumbling at the beginning, but nobody really notices right after a time. And when I get to it, and I hate to be the most morbid person out here, but when I get this reaction, the what I get to going, hey, we gave a third base coach and a first base coach helmets after what happened in a minor league baseball game, which was a tragic, horrible situation and a one-off, and not something that happens every day or every year or maybe even 10 years or 100 years from the way it seems, but we still made that a rule to make the coaches feel safer, to make the fans feel safer so they didn't have to deal with such a thing while they were watching the game. You're really telling me that a pitcher who's standing closer than anybody with the exception of the batter themselves, the catcher and the umpire, who all have protective equipment, by the way, you're really telling me a pitcher shouldn't have the Gary Gaetti, John Olerud helmet, the catcher's helmet, but the front way? Will it really affect the way that they play that much at the cost of player safety? Because someday it'll probably happen. The sad part that I bring up is that someday someone's probably going to get a rocket back to them and they're not going to get up off the deck. So which way would we rather do it? Because we talk about this problem all the time. And the only thing that we come up with are bad reactions to it. Well, if we put a little bit of a pad in the hat, and then they can wear the hat. Well, you see, this has been history throughout, which is the worst example you possibly could. Because if we were giving worst reactions, if we were giving history throughout with that reaction, we wouldn't even have penicillin. If we won't do this for sports, I don't understand why. If we were willing to do this for other things in the world, I don't understand why we wouldn't do it for sports. So when people get worked up about, well, I don't want to extend the netting because it takes away from some of the optics of what I can see. All right, I'll listen to you a little bit. Well, when it comes to player safety, and I have fans arguing with me about whether or not a pitcher should wear a helmet or not when they're standing closer than anybody else is going to be and basically in a position where they can't even defend themselves, and you give me, well, they should finish in a position that defended itself, and I saw that once in a Tom Emanski video. I just don't think you have a leg to stand on. We preach helmets, we preach safety in every other thing that we do. For whatever reason, in sports, we fight it. If it's something that can be done that naturally, and it is, it's a piece of headwear. If it's something that naturally can be done that does not impede the pace of the game, does not impede the quality of the game, it's a hat, a helmet, it doesn't. If it doesn't impede the quality of the game, which it wouldn't, if it doesn't impede what we've based the game to be on, which it doesn't, unless you're one of these people who just want to see some possibility of a death sport out there, I don't understand the strong reaction that I've gotten in the past about, hey, you know what, it's coming out faster than what it goes in, and they're standing there, and the only guy who doesn't have any safety equipment on, maybe they should just wear a helmet. I cannot understand some of the reaction that I've had. It only makes sense. You want the best pitches, they're not always going to fall away in the position that they want to fall in to where they're able to defend themselves, and quite frankly, the ball sometimes is coming a little bit too quick where they can defend themselves. It's a professional hitter who knows launch angles and knows how to hit in the perfect way possible to give them the best chance at now, because we see more home runs than we ever have, the biggest in the month of May than we've ever seen in the past. We see more home runs than ever. That means we're seeing more power. That means we're getting more with the science of it, which I cannot deny the graphs and the charts and the mathematics that they give me. I might not be able to understand it, but Columbia grads like David Adler can, and they're telling me it's the truth. I don't deny what those guys are giving to me in terms of science. So if it's coming out quicker, which it is, why is there a fight to not protect a pitcher? 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Coming up at high noon Eastern, Monty Poole going to join us, CBS, NBC Sports Bay Area. We talked to him about Game 2 of the NBA Finals, whether or not Game 1 was a fluke or the Golden State Warriors in real trouble and they need Kevin Durant to heal up and get back to them. But coming up next, fine. I talked about Ben Roethlisberger. Pittsburgh, you came at me this week. You get your wish.
This is the Ken Carmen Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Coming up at high noon, Monty Poole going to join us. That's noon Eastern, 9 Pacific. Monty Poole going to join us, NBC Sports Bay Area. I think there is a little bit of a fear without Kevin Durant there, just because it's one game. I don't want to overreact to one game. But my fear is that, man, Drake, you're letting Drake, just because he smiles at you and calls you garbage, get in your ear about that. I know Kevin Durant gets worked up about 14-year-olds giving him hell on Twitter. Kevin Durant also goes out there and becomes a 2-time finals MVP. He's also the most dominating player in the NBA today. I know Kawhi's done a hell of a job, and Pascal Siakam has done a hell of a job. When I'm given that option, I'm still going with Kevin Durant instead of Kawhi Leonard. 855-212-4CBS. Yeah, going back to, and some of the people have gotten in about baseball, and I get a lot of people who are agreeing with it. John, the people complaining about the net and the visual optics are the same ones complaining when their program is interrupted by local weather guys because a tornado is coming to them. It's exactly true. Jason, same question regarding fans. Why won't they protect fans when we see fans killed by foul balls? There's still zero done about it. I have no clue. When you have, if you have people here, and this is a guy who's a person who is a baseball fan from what it looks like here. If you have anybody who's afraid to come to your product, who's afraid to participate in your product and ultimately pay you money, you lose as an organization. You lose as a business. So you need to find a way to make everybody, even if it's ridiculously oversighted because of the options of what they have in front of them. Meaning, the same term as the shoe bomber. One guy brings up a faulty shoe as a bomb, walks on a plane. We have to take our shoes off with TSA. Why? To make guys like me feel safer. So I'll continue to fly, and so I'll continue to spend money and support the industry instead of finding other ways to get there. That's the point of what it's done, and also to make America feel safer. We do that all the time. A one-off is oversighted or overruled and overvalued because we want to feel safer. And in baseball, I get a little bit of an argument. Well, we can't extend the netting because it takes away the foul ball. Go to the team shop and buy a ball. Who cares about a freaking foul ball? Half the time, it's some grown man taking it from a kid. The only reason I care about a foul ball is just so I'll lose, is because I'll lose that chance to find out who a guy is and yell at a guy and embarrass a guy because he's a grown man who took it away from a child. Other than that, I'm a dad. A baseball's $9 in the team shop. I'm already spending enough money as it is going to the game. Why not buy Junior a ball? I already probably have a Sharpie in my pocket. Fine. I'm sure there's ways they can still sign autographs. Let's not get crazy about it. If your whole argument is that, well, they can't get foul balls, I don't know if that's much of an argument. But I even go back to the field of play. I never could believe the reaction I got last year. Hey, pitchers should wear helmets. Ken, you're ruining baseball. I'm ruining baseball? Standing 55 feet away by the time he finishes, probably 53 feet away. Everybody else who's close to that baseball has protective equipment on. Umpire, hitter himself. The pitcher, nah, he doesn't need anything. Well, which way is the baseball going? Right at him. Nah, he doesn't need anything away. How fast is the baseball going? 106 miles an hour. Nah, he doesn't need anything. Doesn't need a helmet. He shouldn't have to wear a John Olerud helmet. Okay, I got it. We'll watch more baseball videos where he's supposed to bring his arm down. Remember, you're supposed to hit the little person on the head as you bring your arm through, as you tuck your glove and you're on your follow through, and then you end in a good field position. Okay, that's realistic, I'm sure. 855-212-4CBS. I don't want to put it off over this week, because last week I went nuts on Ben Roethlisberger, and I still stand by it. I say that this whole Antonio Brown thing, and he went through his own little media car wash there. He went on KDKA in Pittsburgh, and he gave the interviews after OTAs, and, oh, you know, I just can't believe Antonio pulled this. I just was so surprised Antonio Brown would do this. We were friends with each other. And I thought, this is the biggest load of BS I've ever seen in my life. Ben Roethlisberger didn't think voluntary OTAs were very important before. Now all of a sudden he thinks OTAs are very important. Oh, that's surprising to me. They don't make the postseason. Antonio Brown has a blow-up and a meltdown and then gets himself traded, and now you find a way and blames you for it, and now you find yourself at voluntary OTAs. And I'll continue to sing that song until football season and until either Ben Roethlisberger and the Pittsburgh Steelers falter this year or with the roster they still have, because I think people's overreaction on what they're going to be in 2019 is actually overblown. They still have the talent to be a playoff team and still have the talent to make a deep playoff run. But even if they do, I'll sit there and go, why didn't we get this Ben Roethlisberger 2 years ago or 3 years ago or last year? Why didn't we get Ben Roethlisberger like this then? So saying you've run off your best wide receiver, and he's got blame there too, but basically when you've run off your best wide receiver and throw him under the bus and say that you can criticize him and that's your right to do so publicly, even though we all know that Antonio Brown's a proud man, you can't use that as motivation. So that's to sum up what I said last week. All throughout this week, I kept getting the gears from a bunch of Pittsburgh fans. And, hey, you know what? Maybe rightfully so. Ken, you know, you got all the biggest stones in the world to talk about Ben Roethlisberger. You got the serious big pills to talk about Big Ben and Mike Tomlin and the Pittsburgh Steelers. But what about Baker Mayfield here? Hey, Ken, what about Baker Mayfield going after Colin Cowherd? Hey, Ken, what's all this with Baker Mayfield here? Don't you think that he's punching down on Colin Cowherd? Hey, Ken, I know that you're willing to talk all you want about the Pittsburgh Steelers here, but you're a guy who's based out of Cleveland, and yeah, I know you might do some of the radio stuff. Are you willing to say what you need to say about Baker Mayfield? And I said, you know what? You folks are right. You folks are absolutely right. If I'm going to say one thing about Ben Roethlisberger, I better have the pills to talk about Baker Mayfield. And that's a difficult thing because Baker Mayfield takes about everything that anybody says about him personally. Colin Cowherd tweets out, earlier this week, just want to say thank you. Just got a note from the big shot boss. We are up 32% May year to year. That's what we care about. In 2019, that's not just happening on cable TV very often. Great support, great staff, FS1, feel lucky to be here. Fox Sports, thanks. Sincerely, Colin Cowherd. All throughout his mentions, thank Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield's in your head. Thanks, Baker. Signed, Colin. Thanks, Baker, not us. Thank Baker Mayfield. Some people say you're fine. Your show is fine. It's a fine listen. Congrats to them. Congrats to all of them. Congrats to Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield lives in these mentions right here. The mentions of Baker Mayfield, the quarterback of the Cleveland Browns. Ken, you won't say anything against Baker. I just don't think a radio show will tear down a football team. But I do think that it will make a non-playoff performance by the Cleveland Browns an absolute disaster. what's going on social media between Baker Mayfield and Colin Cowherd is brilliant on Colin Cowherd's part. I just don't know what the win is for Baker Mayfield. And I've heard it from Cleveland fans all this week, and I like Baker Mayfield. I think that he's the perfect fit for Cleveland fans. I think he's the perfect fit for the Browns, who are trying to find an identity. You need a strong-willed ass-kicker to be your quarterback. You need a guy. Basically, when you're looking for a quarterback since Bernie Kosar for the last 30 years, you're not looking for a quarterback anymore. You're really looking for a messiah. And so he can't just stand out there and be quiet and try to let his play do the talking. He's got to get fans going. But I look at what Baker Mayfield's done, which has been brilliant so far in his young NFL career, and I think, why are you punching down on radio show hosts? Colin Cowherd's an institution in our business. Let's not make any deal of it. I know I'm talking about a guy who has way bigger reach than what I do, hosting 1 4-hour show nationally each and every week on a Saturday midday. I get that. But the entire point of that is that Colin Cowherd is a radio show host just like I am, and I would feel pretty damn powerful if I felt that I had that type of reaction given to me by an NFL quarterback. And from what I said about Ben Roethlisberger last week, I got to admit wholeheartedly to you, it would tickle me pink if Ben Roethlisberger mentioned me on Twitter or mentioned me in some sort of an interview, which he never do because he don't give a damn. Because I'm a radio show host, and he doesn't have to punch down to me. But it would make me feel great because I'm a radio show host, and naturally, let's be serious here, I'm a narcissist, just like any other radio show host. We all have something in it. We try to be humble, some of us do, but at the end of it, we host shows that are named after ourselves. We sit here on a dais, we talk down to people, we think that we know more about each other. We're all narcissists, and we all believe that what we know is right and what other people know is wrong. And every now and then, we're willing to admit when we're wrong, but most of us don't. And so when Baker Mayfield gets after it with Colin Cowherd, I think, what is the win here? And I got so many people. Ken, it's his brand. What's the win for Baker? What's on brand about Baker? Going after Colin Cowherd? Going after a sports talk radio show host who, in the end here, on midday television, by these numbers that he tweets out, and I'm just going to go ahead and take them as gospel, what the hell, that he tweets out, he's the one who wins. Baker Mayfield can't win anything in the middle of May or now into early June. Colin Cowherd's the one that wins that. If Baker Mayfield goes and wins a Super Bowl this year, do people think Colin Cowherd's going to end his radio show? Do people believe that he's going to end his TV show? Do people believe that nobody will criticize Baker Mayfield ever again if he wins a Super Bowl for the Cleveland Browns in 2019? That'll never stop. The reason I question why Baker does it, why Baker gives Colin Cowherd the time of day, is that Baker lives in a world of wins and losses. The rest of us really don't. Colin Cowherd has in the world of ratings. Colin Cowherd's in the world of putting his name out there in the country, gaining a reputation, good, bad, whatever you might believe, but being heard. Colin Cowherd's a guy who's been based in this business for 30 years as a guy who doesn't fly off the handle about things. He's not nearly as emotional as I. He's more slow-talking and cutting and careful with his words than usually I will ever be or any of us will ever be, and that's why he's one of the best in the business. And I know why Colin Cowherd would go after Baker Mayfield, because you can go after Sam Darnold, you can go after Andrew Luck, you can go after Ben Roethlisberger, you can go after all those other names. They're not going to give you the time of day. But Baker Mayfield, because, and you may be right, because it's his brand, he will go back after you because he believes in that. However, I just don't think that should be his brand. Because Ben Roethlisberger, or because Baker Mayfield plays against Ben Roethlisberger. He plays against Lamar Jackson. He plays against the Ravens and Steelers, and he'll play against the Patriots and Chiefs. He will be judged against them. He doesn't play Colin Cowherd. The Cleveland Browns, on their schedule, do not play a radio show on Fox Sports. They play the AFC North. They play the Patriots this year. They expect to make the playoffs. They play big boy football. Or they're expected to play big boy football this year. So I ask, what's the win? And if he fails, if Baker Mayfield all of a sudden fails in 2019, and I don't believe he will, I think that he's got what it takes to be a great quarterback in this league and possibly a perennial playoff quarterback, and who knows what the limit is for Baker Mayfield. I know that he can change the conversation about six-foot quarterbacks for the rest of our careers and for the rest of our lives as fans. But if Baker Mayfield were to somehow struggle this year, Colin's the one who wins, not you. He'll spend the whole time going after you. And he knows that you'll react. And best of all for Colin Cowherd is that he knows that Cleveland will react. I'm in Cleveland. Colin Cowherd's not on the radio here. He's not on any one of the stations here, at least any one of the ones that anybody listens to. He's not on here. He's on in waiting rooms at doctor's offices, on television. He's on where high school kids get summers off. That's maybe where he's on. He's on where in college dorms during the midday. He's not on it. He's not on the radio in Cleveland, Ohio. But he has Cleveland, Ohio eating out of his hand, tweeting nasty things at him, going after him every day, and he doesn't care. His numbers go up. His reputation goes up. Baker Mayfield plays into that. He wins. What does Baker Mayfield get out of any of this? I think Baker Mayfield at 24 will be different than where he will be at 34 years old. I don't think 34-year-old Baker Mayfield, with maybe a Super Bowl under his belt, maybe passing yardage records under his belt in a season, maybe touchdown records under his belt in a season. We project these things, all pro caliber type of seasons. By the time Baker Mayfield's 34 years old, maybe he doesn't think of these things like this. Maybe he understands that radio show hosts are just guys here on the bottom, including myself, who like to pick up the droppings of what they like to put down every single time they're up there and they like to unzip the pants. That's basically what we do. And we like to talk with you guys about it. But when you make one of us try to feel powerful or that we have some sort of an impact on a real NFL football team, we're going to take that and we're going to run with it. Because if the Cleveland Browns, now if they wouldn't have had a playoff year and they would have went 10-6, that still could be a really good year. You could argue that. If they don't make the playoffs now, it'll turn into a dumpster fire. It'll turn into a disaster. Odell won't be happy. It'll question whether or not you hired or why you should have hired a first-year head coach who was a running backs coach before that. And then it'll turn around and question the general manager who has made strong moves and very good moves for the football team that was an out-and-out embarrassment for an entire generation. That can all be done in one offseason. And the problem with all of that is that everything that was done with a radio show host will be thrown on top of it. And that radio show host, who has a microphone in front of his face every single day, will let you know about it. And people will agree with him because he doesn't deal in wins and losses right there every single Sunday with a giant scoreboard. He deals in an argument. He deals in conversation. He deals in trying to find a way to make you come over the fence and see his point, whether you believe it or not, whether you agree with it at the end or not. That is not the case. It's whether or not you can see his point. And Baker Mayfield, who I think is all pro, who could be all pro someday, who rightfully should have been the rookie of the year. Yeah, calm down, Kevin Wall. Who rightfully should have been the rookie of the year. Who has changed the entire complexion of a more bun franchise in about just over 18 months, I think he should be above it. I really wish he wouldn't be bothered because it does no harm right now. A radio show is not going to bring down a professional football team, no matter how much we want to think we are powerful. It's just not. He's not going to do it. Rome isn't going to do it. Mike Wilbon isn't going to do it. PTI isn't going to. Will Cain, Stephen A., whatever, they're not going to do it. Those guys are not going to bring down the Browns, Ravens, the Patriots, the 49ers, whoever. But it will be added on, and we can make you believe that we did that. And that's the scariest part. 855-212-4CBS. Monty Poole joins us next. NBC Sports Bay Area. We talk NBA Finals with him. Is Golden State in trouble? Could Toronto be a world champion? He answers it next on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.